Okay, the Rabbi, today's daf is daf Mem Tes, and we're holding at the very top of the Amud. As you recall, yesterday we spoke at some length on the Amud Beis about what happens if the father hands over his daughter to the Shluchei Habal. So it said in our Mishnah, Harihi Birshus Habal. It's already considered as if she is Birshus Habal as far as with respect to which halachos. You'll remember we had a 3 or 4 way machloikis in the Gemara. Ultimately, the Gemara concluded that we agree with Shmuel that she is considered to be a nesua for purposes of Yerusha, so that if en route, unfortunately, she passed away, her father handed her over to Shluchei Habal even before she received, she arrived at the Baal's house, unfortunately she passed away, then the Baal yarshins her and not the father. So, that's what it said in the Mishnah, Master Av Shluchei Habal, Hari B'shus Habal. But for instance, Legabe Truma, we said, no, Ein Isha Oicheles B'Truma, Ad Shitikonis L'Chupa. And then you remember the Gemara also went off and said, what happens if Chas V'Sholem, en route to her new husband, she was Mizana? What is the din? Is it a din of skila because she's still an arusa? Or do we say that since she's en route to her baal, she has a din of chenek, like any other eshesish? And the Gemara concluded that in fact it's bechenek, based on a posik, liznois beisavia. Now all of this is based on the assumption that the young lady is going to continue traveling to her husband's, her new husband's home. What happens if she has a change of heart? After traveling a mile or two, she says, you know what, this is not such a great idea, and she's going back to her father's home. What happens now? Does that reverse everything? Zok di gemara tap of memtes amet aleph, v'eimo hecha di hadra lebeinasha, hadra lemiltza kamaisa. The gemara is not asking akasha. Rashi says the gemara is asking an iboya. It's a simple question. Is this move to her baal's new home, is this irrevocable, irreversible? Or do we say no? As long as she continues on her merry way to her new husband's home, then she's considered to be Birshus Habal. And even if she passes away, she's passed away Birshus Habal. But what happens if she said to the Shluchim, I have a change of heart, we're going back the Beinasha to my father's home? What happens now? Do you say Hadra Lemiltza Kamaisa, and do we reverse everything and say that she's still an Arusa Bebesavia? And therefore, for instance, if she was Mizana, she would get Skila and not Chenek. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Ahu Kvar Poska Tanur Bishmo. This Shaila Shen Alte Shaila, and this was already Nifsak, already Gepaskin by Tanur Bishmo. Now Tanur Bishmo doesn't focus on the case of, for instance, Chenek or Skila, or Yerusha or Truma, but rather focuses on Haforas Nidorim. The Tanur Bishmal, it says in the pasuk, "V'nedar manu grusha kolashe osr al nafshi yokum oleha." Now you all know we've spoken about this a number of times over the last few days. The beginning of Parshas Matos, there's a whole parsha dealing with a man or a lady that makes a neder, and in particular, if you have a lady making a neder, if she happens to be single and she's a ketana above the age of 11, or she's a nara, then the father has the exclusive right to go and be Mefer. If she becomes an Arusa, then the father and the Orus, they have the joint right to be Mefer. And finally, when she becomes an Asua, then she goes into the Shus of her husband, and the husband has the exclusive right to be Mefer. Now, the Pasuk says, what happens if she's Nebuch an Almona Ugrusha? Uyayay. Now, and Mona Grusha could be from Menu Erisin, or it could be Menani Suin. So Rashi tells us that if she's an Almona or a Grusha Menu Erisin, she reverts back to her father, again assuming that she is still a Ketana or a Nara. And now her father, again, has the exclusive right to go and be Mefer Nedarim, like he had before she got married. On the other hand, if she's an Almona or Grusha Menani Suin, just like when she got married, now she's exclusively in the jurisdiction of her husband. Even if the husband, Chas V'Sholem, passed away or gave her a get, she no longer reverts back to her father, but she's on her own. And now the Gemara wants to know, B'nei d'alman or grusha, what is this pasuk referring to? Kol asher osur al nafshi yokum oleh. Any neder that she made remains intact, and there's nobody to be made for. Pray tomorrow, ma tam aloim, what do I need a pasuk for? V'ali mutzis mechlal av, u'mutzis mechlal baal. She is, the word mutzis is like yitzia. She has already left and exited from her father by the fact that she not only had Edersin, she had Nisuin. And now she's Mutzim Mechlal Baal, she's also left her husband, the Nasui, because of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar passed away or gave her a get. So therefore, isn't it automatic? Don't I know this logically without the Pasuk that now she's on her own and nobody can be made for her neder? Says Yemura, I'll tell you why I need the Pasuk. Because I have a third situation. Not a situation of Erisin, where she goes back to her father. Not a situation of Nisuin, that her husband died, and now she's independent. But this twilight situation of our Mishnah and our Gemara. Meaning that the father, Masra l'shluchei habal. El harisha masra av l'shluchei habal. Oishimassari shluchei av l'shluchei habal. And even before she reached her husband Nebuch, either she heard a terrible news that her fresh Baal, that she hasn't even had Nisun yet, Nebuch passed away, or that the husband changed his mind and he sent a get with other shluchim to go and divorce her. What happens now? So she's not a Nisarmala or Niskarsha, she's not an Almana Ugrusha min Ho'erisin, she's not an Almana Ugrusha min HaNisuin, she's an Almana Ugrusha from this Mesiris Ha'av to the Shluchi Abal situation. So, hey, Chani Koyreba, what should I do? Do I say that she's a base of the Yashozu, and therefore the father can continue to go and be made for Nidorim? She reverts back to her father. Oy base Baal Yashozu, or do I say no, that she's already a Shtikl Nisua? And it's already all over. Nobody has right to go and be made for her nedarim. Eloi Moloch, that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you. V'neder almanu ugrusha. Kimin sheyotze shor achas rishusa av. As soon as she leaves the rishusa av and enters into the domain of the rishusa baal, how? By being nimsera, she's been handed over to the shluchi habal. Shuveini yochel hafer. Then nobody's able to be made for. Neither the Av, nor the Baal. So what do I see from this? I see from this halacha of Tan Rabbi Shmuel, that once she is Nimsira to the Shluchi Baal, the rights of the Av stop entirely, and it is irrevocable, it's irreversible. Even if Chas V'Shalom, the husband says, I change my mind, I give you a get, or the husband dies. Sorry, it's irreversible. She is now totally independent. That being the case, going back to the shayla at the top of the Amud, since we're saying it's irreversible, since we said yesterday in the Gemara that as soon as she's nimser l'shluchi habal, the din of skila goes away, the din of chenek appears, this is irreversible. Even if she changes her mind and she goes back l'beinasha, it is chenek, it is no longer the din of skila. So with this, we've been poishit the shaila that we started off with at the top. Now, Omer a papa doesn't relate to the shaila, he relates to the halacha of the chenek and the skila. Remember what did we say on the Amud Beis, that once she is nimsra l'shluchi habal, if chas v'shalom she's mezana, no longer a din of skila, a din of chenek, Omer a papa afanani nami tanina. I have a raya from a mishnah. A Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. What does it say in the Mishnah? Habo al nara hamurasa. Einoi chayiv. Achehei. There have to be four requirements. Einoi chayiv means she's not a chayiv skila. Achehei. Four requirements. Number one, nara. Two, psula. Number three, murasa. Number four, vehi beveis avia. Okay, so what do these four requirements come to exclude? Mishnah in nara. Loi begeris. She's still a nara. She's not a begeris yet. She's a psula v'loi ba'ula. She's a mu'urasa v'loi nesua. Rashi points out, like we learned in the Gemara already yesterday, that when it says mu'urasa v'loi nesua, it means even the bare nisuin of nichnesa l'chupa v'loi nivala. Because if she's a full-fledged nesua with bia, then we already said psula v'loi ba'ula. I don't need to repeat it. And therefore we're talking about a situation, she's mu'urasa's, but she didn't even have chuppah yet. The base of the lamuti mai. What does the base of the come to exclude? Lav lamuti moser av lishluchi abal. Oh, it must be this case. Since we already excluded through erisin v'loy nisuin, we excluded a woman that already went to chuppah v'loy nivala. So what else could we be excluding when we say the base of here? Oh, that's lamute maser av l'shluchi abal, where the base of via portion of her life is now at an end. It's history, because once she's nimsra l'shluchi abal, she's now considered to be in the domain of the baal, and therefore no more din of skila. The din is a din of chenek.
Yeah.
Rabbi, you have a question?
Yes, the fact that she's not of the shulo, it means that she has done two wrongs. Besides being Mizane Azarusa, she was also not a Besulo. So she is rewarded for not being a Besulo with the mitzvah of Henek instead of Sepila. How is this explainable?
The Gemara is not specifically referring to a case where she sinned. What the Gemara means to say is that these four requirements come to exclude four situations. Situation number one is she's no longer 12 and a half, she's now 13, 14, etc. Fine. Psula v'loy ba'ula. What does that mean? That she did in fact have a full nisuin, and she is a ba'ula because of her husband. What's the halacha now? Jacques de Gemara says in the pasuk, no longer skila, now it's chanik. Now murasa v'loy nisua. We just said that nisua. Ah, so it's talking about not a full-fledged nisuin, including bia, even a partial nisuin. What's a partial nisuin? Just chuppah. They haven't gotten to bia yet. Ah, also, that's already enough to take her out of the category of skila to the category of chenek. So what does base bia come to tell us? It comes to tell us even less than that. So we're going kind of greater from the smaller chiddush to the greater chiddush. The smallest chiddush is that she's a total nisua in the sense that she's already a ba'ula. No more skila. Murasa b'lei nesua, even if she's not a full-fledged ba'ula and nesua, a shtikal in nesua, that she was nichnasa l'chuppah. And then the biggest chiddush is b'vei sevil l'mutei, that she didn't even get the chuppah yet. She's only en route to the chuppah. It might still take her another day to get there, depending on how long. Even then, it's no longer considered to be the skila halacha. The halacha is now chenek. Okay?
If she's a mukasses, she's also a zadaru. She's a mukasses, not a besulo.
It's a good question. Our Gemara doesn't address that. Ichbeisish. I don't know. We'd have to go back to Yevamos. Maybe the Gemara addresses it there, but our Gemara doesn't address the mukasses. Yes, Barry.
The case of a girl who's a bas kohen who marries a yisro. When her marriage terminates and she has no children, she does revert back to her father's house and she can eat truma.
True, 100%.
It seems to be in contention with all these halachas that once she leaves her father's house, it's irreversible. How does that work? And how does that interplay with this? It feels like they're contending with one another. There, it's both a psukim and everything, but still. You say beinasha. It always evokes a truma beinasha, a girl eating truma after her marriage ends, going back to her father's house in Egypt, which is a kohen, bas kohen.
You don't even have to go that far to compare it to the case of the truma in the case of the bas kohen that married Yisrael and now she returns to her father's house. When she was nimsura the shluchi habal. We said already yesterday, it's such a twilight hybrid situation that for certain halachas she's considered to be, if you will, a nesua, even though she didn't even have chuppah yet. And for other halachas, we say that she's still considered to be an arusa. So for instance, as you recall, the final psak of the Gemara was that she, if she were to pass away en route, the arusha would go to her husband, to the baal, even though they didn't even have chuppah yet. Nevertheless, she cannot go and eat truma. And if you remember, Rashi said there are other nafkiminis as well. It's not only Yerusha. What about Litamala? What about Masya Deha? What about the Haforis Nidorim? So there are all different types of ramifications. Lagabi certain halachas, we say that she's considered to be a nesua. So, for instance, lagabi Yerusha. And lagabi Chas V'Sholem, if she were to go and sin, it would be chenek and not skira. Yet, lagabi other halachas, she still cannot eat truma. And on the surface, it would appear, according to Shmuel, he would not be able to metamet to her if she passed away. He would not get her masiyadayim. It's only lagabi Yerusha, nothing more. So you see that it's kind of a twilight Bein HaShemosha situation. For certain halachas, she's considered to be an Arusa. Certain halachas, she's considered to be a Nesua. So it's a very mechudish dika thing. So the Gemara said, okay, Al-Gabi, those halachas like Yerusha, or the Gabi Chenek, is it irreversible? And on that, the Gemara said, since the Gabi other halachas anyway, we see... No, forget. Because the Gemara, for these purposes, it's not irreversible and remains Chenek. But the Gabi other thing, she still cannot eat truma. And presumably, according to Shmuel, there would not be a din of being metamet to her and mas yadayim, etc., etc. So the whole thing, as you can see, is a little bit of a hybrid twilight Bein HaShemosha situation. On to the next one. Omer Amnachem Bar Yitzchak. I'll bring you another raya that it's a din of chenek and not a din of skila. It's a habol eishes ish. Kimin shenichlas ulish. It's a baal linisuin. Aval bishloi nivola. Habol leah harizeh bechenek. This is a braya that Amnachem Bar Yitzchak is quoting. A person who lives with an eishes ish. As soon as she's nichlas ulish. It's a baal. Even though shloi nivola. Habol leah harizeh bechenek. Frey Timura. It doesn't say in this braisa that she had chuppah without going the next step, without having bia. What it says is, ki v'she nechles v'she sabal. Why does it use that expression? Nechles v'she sabal bi'alma. Ba'alma means even the most flimsy of v'she sabal. Even without nechles v'chuppah. What does it say? She's no longer chayiv. Skila, it's harizeh bechenek. Shema mino. So I have yet another raya to the loch of yesterday. Yesterday we brought one makar. Today we just brought two makaris, a Mishnah and Sanhedrin, and this brayis from Nachman Yitzchak, all of which hold the same, that when she's nimsa reshus habal, boom, she becomes as if she is a full-fledged eishes ish legabe hilchois chenek and not skila. On to the next Mishnah. We already quoted this Mishnah yesterday, the day before. Even though the average father, of course, will have sufficient compassion and mercy to supply food to his daughter, however, he is not mechuyav. He is not obligated to go and support his daughter with mezainis. Zem medish dorash Reblozer ben Azaria lefnei chacham bekerem liyavn. Reblozer ben Azaria, Rashi points out that this was his first day of nesius. Remember, we learned back at the beginning of Masechtas Brochos about the rift that there was between Ram Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Because Ram Gamliel was so critical of Rabbi Yeshua, all the other Chacham got together and they said, we're going to depose Ram Gamliel. They appointed Reblozer ben Azaria, and that's the famous Gemar Harnika ben Shivim Shana, that he grew a beard overnight. That looked, not that he grew a beard, his black beard turned white overnight, even though he was only 18 years old, he looked like he was 70, etc., etc. So Reblozer ben Azaria became Nasi, and subsequently they reinstated Ram Gamliel, and it was three weeks Ram Gamliel, 1 week for Reblozer ben Azaria. Anyway, on that first day, Reblozer ben Azaria became the new Nasi. He darshed in Bekerem B'Yavna. This Kerem B'Yavna, once again, is also familiar to us, that there was a place called Yavna, and the Talmidim would sit in rows listening to the Rebbeim, and those rows reminded people of a kerem, where also the vines of a vineyard and the grapes are all grown in nice rows, one next to the other. Okay, anyway, so continuing on, what did he darshan? Habonim yirshuv habonis yizoynu. Now, the Mishnah doesn't tell us exactly what Reblozer ben Azaria means, but Rashi fills in the blanks. Reblozer ben Azaria was darshaning the Lashon of the Ksubais. Because in every Ksuba, you have one of the Tanai Bezdins is, number one, you have the Ksubas Bonin Dichrin, and you have the Ksubas Bonon Nukvan. What is Bonin Dichrin? Bonin Dichrin is a woman is marrying a husband, and this woman is very, very wealthy. And she is concerned that her husband is going to marry, or maybe has already married, other women that are not so wealthy. And guess what happens? She is concerned that when she dies, all of her wealth is going to go to her husband, which is fine. But then the husband's going to die, and then all of that wealth will be split among the children of all of his wives. And therefore she says, no. I want the wealth to stay with my kids and not with your other kids from the other women. And that's why they put into the ksuba's ban and dichrin, the heaven lichi minoi, that you're going to have from me. They are going to go and yarshin the chelik that belongs to me that I'm bringing into the marriage, so that if I predecease you, my husband, when the husband dies, that chelik that he got from his wealthy wife, that will go to their children together. So that's the banim zuchrin. Now we have the banim nukvan. Banim nukvan is referring to the girls, and there it says that banan nukvan yehavelichi minoi, einan yehaven yasvun bebeisi umitzinen meni chosai atiti vagren oy atiti lokchun legovren, which means any daughters that I have together with you, they are going to be able to sit in your home, in the home of the father, the husband, even if she never passes away or whatever. And even then afterwards, he passes away, they can go and sit in tranquility in their father's home, and they can continue receiving food until they become of age or until they get married. So Zokti Gemara, Sabonim Yishu, Abonis Yezoinu, Ma Abonim Eni Yoshim El La'achar Mises Av, just like Yerusha, by definition, only takes place after the father passed away. And then what happens? Her nechosim, her nadin, is going to go to their common children and not to the other kids. So therefore, what Rav Lozer ben Azariah is telling us is that even though the achra misa, the yorshim are going to have to give enough food to support the girls, their sisters, their half-sisters, however, when the father is still alive, he is not obligated to go and give mezoinus to his daughters. Now, the Mishnah leaves out two things, which our Gemara is going to be medayik. Number one, why do we talk only about Avi Nechai B'mezoinus Bitoi? What about Izichai B'mezoinus Benoi? That's question number one. Question number two, even though he doesn't have a choiva, does he have a mitzvah? Okay, he's not obligated, but if he did it, is he Mekayim a mitzvah nevertheless? And that's what the Gemara is going to focus on now. Talk to you, it sounds like he's not mechuyev to supply his daughter with food. It sounds like, however, he is mechuyev to go and supply his son. And further, there's no choyev, it says, but it sounds like that there is a mitzvah to go and support the daughter. So if you want the Mishnah doesn't stim like any of these three Mandi Amram that we're going to quote momentarily from a Brisa. So remember, what we've been medayik from the Mishnah is two things. Number one, that there is a choiva legabe benoi, and number two, that there is a mitzvah legabe bitoi. So what does it say in the Brisa? The sign. Mitzvah lozen es abonis. It's a mitzvah to go and give mezoinus to the bonos, to the girls. That's consistent with our Mishnah so far. It's a mitzvah to go and give mezoinus to the daughters. Kal v'chaim lebonah, and certainly for the sons. Why certainly for the sons? They ask him a Torah. They, if you will, are in a higher spiritual madrega. They learn Torah. That's their job. It's not their job to go and solicit funds and to run around and try to make money. So if you have to go, not if you have to, if there's a mitzvah to go and support the daughters, there's certainly a mitzvah to go and support the sons. But notice it doesn't say choiva. It just says it's a mitzvah to support the daughters, and kal v'chaymer the sons, but no choiva. So this is going to be the raya that our Mishnah cannot go according to a mayor, because we were medayik that there's no choiva legabe bitoy, but there's a choiva legabe benoy. And here I see, according to the mayor, there's no choiva, it's only a mitzvah. Dibre mayor. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda starts off the other way around. Mitzvah lozen es abonim. There's a mitzvah to go and give mezoinus to the sons. The kal v'chaymer lebonis, it's certainly for the daughters. Why? Shum zilusa. Because it's one thing if boys have to run around and try to get jobs, odds and ends, Nebuch beg for money. But for a girl, that's a terrible, terrible humiliation. It's a terrible, terrible busha. L'maisa, l'choyre, there's no nafke mina between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Both hold the same, that l'gabi, both bonim and bonois, there is a mitzvah and no choyva. Rabbi Yechim, Abraik Oimer, choyva lozenes a bonois la'achar misa savia. There's a choyva la'achar misa savia. Well, that we know. That's the ksuvah benon nukvan that we quoted before. That when you have girls, the halacha is that the Tanai Bezdin was that the father has to go and support those daughters. But when the father is alive, Eilav Eilam means both the bonim and the bonois. Einan nizoinen, says Rashi, afil a mitzvah ain't kan. There's not even a mitzvah. Oh, that certainly doesn't stim with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that there is a mitzvah to support the bonim and the bonois, and by the ben, it even gets upgraded, not only as a mitzvah, it's even a choiva. So now the Gemara goes through the whole cheshma. Mani masis. Ira meir ha'amar bonim mitzvah. According to the meir, he said that the bonim, just like the bonois, is a mitzvah. But it doesn't say choiva, but we were medai from our Mishnah, that only by bitoi is there no choiva. But by benoi there is a choiva. The meir says it's only a mitzvah. Ira Bihuda Omar, also he says, Bonim Nami Mitzvah. He says the same thing, because like we said before, the Remeya and Rabbi Yehuda say the same halacha. Ira Bihuda Breika, fill a mitzvah Nami Leka. Kuntra Bihuda Breika, he says, Eilu Ve'elu, Eilin Nizoinim, Rashi says there's not even a mitzvah. But we Medayik, everybody, that the Mishnah holds it for both girls and boys, there's at least a mitzvah. For a boy, it's even a chayva. So the chayva, the Mishnah doesn't go according to any of the three Madi Amrim. Now we're going to try to say that the Mishnah goes according to each one of them. A father is not mechuyev to go and give mezoinis to his daughter. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And the same thing applies to the ben. No chayva ha-mitzvah bebita, but there is a mitzvah to go and support and give food to the daughter. Ikka. And kal v'choyim the bonim, it's certainly for the bonim. Now, one second. You're telling me that there's no choyva for the daughter and no choyva for the son. So why does the Mishnah then focus on the daughter? Why does it say, avin achai b'mezoinis? Remember, b'mezoinis bitoy. And the Gemara was, medayik izach mashma, but the av is chayiv b'mezoinis benoy. And now we're saying, according to the Steretz, no, he's not chayiv b'bitoy nor b'benoy. Frey, the Gemara, v'aydi tani bitoy. So why does it say bitoy? Why does it say l'mashl benoy? Hakamash one comes to say Yechidish. The afilu bitoy choyvahu deleka ha mitzvah ikar. Even though, according to Remeir holds, remember that the bonim, there is a greater obligation, a greater mitzvah to give to the bonim than to the bonois, because they're asking b'toyra, because they're learning. So therefore, bitoy is secondary. Zaktimor, the afilu bitoy choyvahu deleka. By Bita there is no choiva, but mitzvah ikar, even though it doesn't rise to the level of a choiva. But there is a mitzvah, kasolka daita chamina, since she is more kal, like the top Rashi says, tekila dole oski b'araisa, maybe it's not even a mitzvah. Kamashmal on the Mishnah, there is no choiva, but there is a mitzvah even by the bunks. Vi by Yisema, it goes according to Yehuda, v'ochi koma, v'pshat the Mishnah zazoi, hu avi l'chaim b'mzoi des Bita. Because can you certainly not chayiv b'mezoinis benoi? Because remember, according to Yehuda, is more of a svara to say that a father is mechuyev to give mezoinis to his bitoy because of the zilusa, the shame that she should have to chas v'shalom beg for food. So therefore, Achikam in the Mishnah says, "Av ein chayiv b'mezoinis bitoy." Because can the benoi? He's certainly not mechuyev. However, hab mitzvah b'benoi ikka. But a mitzvah there is. And not only is there a mitzvah b'benoi, b'kal v'choyim l'banois, and certainly for the banois there's a mitzvah, because of the potential zilusa, the potential humiliation. Ay oy bazoi, but in tani bitoi, so why only focusing on bitoi in the Mishnah? Why doesn't it say b'noi? Hakamashma dafilu, bitoi choyva leker. Even though Rabbi Yehuda feels very strongly, support your daughter because of humiliation and shame, there's a mitzvah, but there's no choiva, no obligation. And that's the reason why the Mishnah, therefore, focuses on the Bitoy to tell us this din, that there is no din of Choyva Bebitoy. V'yiboy yisayim in golkot b'richim b'breika. Now, what did b'richim b'breika say? He said there's no mitzvah for either of the two, the ben or the bas. There's no chiyuv whatsoever, period. There's not even a mitzvah to go and support your own kids. So why does it say in the Mishnah, why did it go and say there's not even a mitzvah? Why does it say choyva? So Timora, choyva, tananami enoi chayiv. Remember, in our Mishnah, this was in Medrash Shadora Shabloza ben Azariah, and he says, I'm going to go and bring your raya from the Loshen, from the text of the Ksuba, that just like Bonim, there's no din of feeding the Bonim in a Yorshim el Achar Mises Av. So the Bonis is no din of feeding the Bonis until the Achar Mises Avien. But Achar Mises Avien, then there's a Choyva, because that's a Tanai Ksuba. So then there's a Choyva. But when the father is alive, there is no choiva. And so therefore, that's why the Mishnah uses that Lashon, only to show the distinction between La'achar Misa and when the father is alive. But the truth of the matter is, not only is there no choiva, there's not even a mitzvah, neither Lagabi the Bas, nor Lagabi the Ben. So with this, we've concluded that first shtickle, that our Mishnah could go according to any one of these three mandiyam. But now Rabbi Loi says, Amr Bilah, Amr Ish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, on the side it says Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. But Usha Skino, Usha, as we know, was one of the 10 stops, one of the 10 stations where the Sanhedrin went into Golos shortly before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash Sheni. And what happened in Usha? They made a takana, she odem zanes bonav yes ben noisav kshen ktanim. They said, even though Mitzah Ikra Din, our Mishnah already told us, there's no choyve and no mitzvah, in Usha, they were masaking, yes, a father should go and give food to his bonim and to his bonois. The question was this takana accepted lahalacha? Iboyelohu hilchas hakavosay, ain hilchas hakavosay. Did we talk a paskin like Rabbi Lo Amr Ish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina? Then Usha Skinu, did we paskin that way? Toshema. Keva osa lekamid Rav Yehuda, when they used to come in front of Rav Yehuda, now we're talking later generations. Rav Yehuda, of course, was an Amora. Amalahu, Rav Yehuda would go and say, Yared Yolda, the Abnei Masa Shadya. What does the Gemara mean to say? Rav Yehuda, according to the Takonis Usha, they would go and force a person to go and give Mezoinis to his Banam and Banois. That was the Takana. The question is, does the Bezin force, do we listen to the Takonis Usha? Says the Gemara, no. What Rav Yehuda used to do, and what Rav Chisda used to do, as we'll see in another moment, they would try to persuade in a very nice way by trying to make the person embarrassed. Not by actually being koifa, giving him pech, giving him lashes, malchus or makis mardis, but rather we tried to use nice persuasive efforts. What were those persuasive efforts? We would go and say Yarud. Yarud, says Rashi, is a tannin. Tannin is normally defined as either a serpent or a snake. They go and bring up children. However, the tannin is achzori albanav and doesn't feed its children. Rather, the tannin goes and gives birth to kids and leaves them on the bnei o'ir that mankind or the children, they should go and find their way on their own. And so therefore, we're trying to use persuasive methods, and we're saying to the father, do you want to be known as a tanin, that's achzori albonav, that you're leaving your children to the fate of the rest of the community? You should go and support your children and give them food. And similarly, Kev, also the comment of Chaz. Sorry?
Your audience says jackal.
A jackal? Okay. Fine. And it says by the six or seven days of Ma'aseh Bereishis, it says the Kodesh Baruch Hu created a taninim hagdoilim. Right? So what were those taninim? According to Chazal, it's levyosim. So levyosim would sound like that these are of the fish variety. But nevertheless, if he translates tanin to mean a jackal, that's fine with me. When he came in front of Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda would say to them, we go and tell the father who is reluctant to go and give food to his children. We say, take an asisa. Rashi says asisa is a machteshes, some sort of like a portable mill that we used to go and crush and grind ingredients for food. Take that asisa, turn it upside down b'tzibura out in the open, v'leikim, and I want you, father, to stand on it, v'leima, and to go and say in public, urva boi bone, an oirev, which is a raven or a crow, is concerned about its own children. V'hu gavra, but me, I the father, le boi bone, I'm not concerned about my children, I don't arrange for mezoinis, you townspeople, you figure it out, you make a special collection on their behalf. So the Gemara sounds like that the Oyrev is nice to its children, and I'm not nice to my children. Is it true that the Oyrev is nice to its children? Don't we say every morning and davening by the Psukim Zimra? Noisim levei melachma, Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is so generous and so benevolent, gives to the behemoth their food to eat. And he even gives to the children of the ravens and the crows that unfortunately have no food because the parents don't give them any food. They call out to Hashem, my parents don't support me. Please give me support. So you see that the Oirvim are not generous and gracious with their children. And you said that this person stands on the Asisa and he announces the Oirvim are concerned about the children. We see from the pasuk they're not. It depends on what stage in the lives of these Bnei Arv. So Rashi explains, as we know, the crows, the ravens that we're talking about, are black. When they give birth, the children that are born are typically white. Over time, they change from white to black. It sounds a little strange, but think in terms of children, babies that are born sometimes with blonde hair, and then a couple of years later, the blonde hair turns black. So you see that these things happen. So when you think about the ravens, when they are born, they're small, and presumably most of their body is covered with hair, and covered with whatever they're covered with, and therefore it starts with that they're very light-skinned, light-colored. Later on, they become black. So Rashi explains, when they are born, the parents look at them and say, this is not unzira, this is not one of ours. This is a stranger. As if a Kodesh Baruch Hu planted a Martian in our midst, because we're black and this is white. Why should I support it? However, as the children get older and they turn black, this is already amchayin, this is shon unziris. And therefore they go and support them after all. So when the Gemara says that he stands on top of this asisa, and he says that the Orvim take care of the children, that means in later days, later months, later years. When it says in Pasuk, Livnei Orvim means Taka when they're Kindalach, small little children, then they do not support them because they are white and not black. That's how Rashi learns. Toises, by the way, learns differently. If you look at the second Toises, Toises says they're two different minim of Orvim. Some of them are white and some of them are black, and presumably the white ones support the kids, and the black ones don't, or vice versa. But the point is, they're two separate minim, and therefore you can't ask from one min on the other. Anyway, so what we see from this is that, in fact, they were not koife, they didn't go and force the parents, they tried to cajole them, they tried to speak to them nicely, and use positive persuasion to have them feed their kids. However, Toises points out at the very top, we're only talking about older ketanim. Babies until the age of 6, everybody agrees a father is required to go and support them. You see the top toises, kishem tanim. Ava ketanim ketanim, the kulial mechayiv kinam b'seif alfa pi, which we're going to learn daf samachay, that the whole discussion over here, does a father have to support? Doesn't he have to support? That's from the age of ketanim, not ketanim ketanim. Toises doesn't bring the whole gemara. The Gemara in Afopi says that the age of Ketani Ketanim goes until the age of 6. But once you've gone over 6, either from 6 years old or from 7 years old, then the father's off the hook. Until 6, he has to support them. older than that, he does not have to support them anymore. And Lehavdil, in the MTA, I think there used to be ads that say that you can ride for free until the age of 6, and after that, from age of 7, you have to start going paying your toll. You have to go and pay the MTA tokens for the children. They tell the story, by the way, of Rav Pam, Zichron Levracha. Yesterday or today was his yahrzeit, that Rav Pam wanted to instill in his children the midah of honesty and integrity. So when the child became, I think, 7 years old, Rav Pam went and took his child on a city bus, and he went and told proudly to the driver, "My son until now was 6 years old and he was exempt. He didn't have to go and pay. And now that he became 7 years old, we're proud to go and pay our bus fare because now he is of age." Obviously, nobody would have known if the child is still 6 or is already 7. And he wanted to go and instill that midah of honesty in his child. Let's continue on. Zokti Marbait. Piavi Osi Lekami de Rava. When you had such a situation coming in front of Rava, where children were not being supported by their father with food, Amalei Rava would say to them, Nichaloch de Mitzni Banecha Meitzdaka. Are you happy about the fact that your children are going to now become wares of the state, that the state is going to have to support them, the tzedakah, the gaboi tzedakah, and you have to collect money for them? Is that your desire in life, that people should go and say about you that you're so miserly that your children have to go and be fed from tzedakah? And that's how we used to try to use, again, positive, persuasive efforts with the father. All of this discussion that we had until now is when the father was not a person of means. However, Hamid, that everybody agrees that you have to go and force him. In other words, where the father happens to be an ani ve'evyoi, and he says, "I can't afford it, Mr. and Usha, the Masakin, you're afford, nisht afford, you have to give your kids food. And you can't afford it, so beg a little bit longer, go round to all the batei midrashim and stick out your hand and ask for tzedakah, go, you have to support your kids." That's where the Masakin and Usha. However, we don't follow that you can be koi for the father. We try to use persuasive force that he should go and support. However, if the father is a man of means, by the way, the word amid doesn't mean that he is an oisher. It just means that he has enough to go around not only for himself and his wife, but also support his kids. Then he has to support his kids and give them food after all. And finally, al karche, we would go.
Sorry?
100%. Now go to the next line. Iboyilahu. Do we follow that halacha? That the Lashon and Gemara Hilchas Kavase sounds like that maybe Rabbi Lo Omri Shlokish Rishim Rabbi Yosef Rachanina, maybe he's misquoting this Be'usha Hiskinu, and therefore saying, do we paskin like him or don't we paskin like him? Or perhaps the Lashon and Gemara is Lav Dafka. What the Gemara means to say is fine. And Usha they made that takana. Is this takana followed lahalacha? Because as we know, there are certain takanas acham that people never follow and never accepted by the masses. And therefore, the gzeiros and takanas fell away. So the question is, what's the halacha over here? Do they follow? Don't they follow? And the Gemara has concluded that, in fact, if it's a person who's not a person of means, you cannot force, you can only use persuasive force, but not physical force. But again, but if he's Amid Kofinali Al Karche, if the person is a man of means, that we can force him. Ki hod Rava kafil Rav Nosson bar Ami v'apik minei dalad mei azuzi l'tzdaka. Rav, in fact, was koifer Rav Nosson bar Ami, who was a person of means, to go and force him not only to supply and to support his own children, but also to go and support the communal tzedakah that was used to support other people, other aniyim, people that needed money for whatever needs. He would go and force him, because if you have money, go and contribute to tzedakah. Amar Bilo Amar Ish Lakish. Okay, so now, since we had Rabbi Lo Amar Ish Lakish, the Gabi, that earlier takana, we bring another. They made another takana. What happens if a person writes all of his nechasim for his children? Why would a person go and write all of his nechasim for his children? Because of the fact that we know that min ha-toira, the girls do not yarshin. And if there happens to be a bechor, bechor gets pishnayim. That's all in terms of Yerusha. However, when a person is alive, he can go and divvy up his possessions any way he wants to. In fact, he can go and disown all of his children by giving all of them the chasim to tzedakah, or to a third party. What happens if a person is not happy with his children? They never gave him any respect or any honor, and therefore he disowns all of them. You can do that when you're alive by writing out a will or last will and testament, or you can even give a shtar bari. You can give right now all your nechasim to somebody else. Instead, what they did is they gave the nechasim to their banim, and presumably the reason why he did that was because he wanted to give them either all the same amount and not give a b'char pishnayim, or because he wanted to give the banois as well, or maybe in fact he wanted to go and make distinctions between one son and the other. One son, Baruch Hashem, has wealthy in-laws, and therefore Baruch Hashem, he's very wealthy, and he doesn't need so much money. Other kids, unfortunately, are not doing so well in business, and they need more money, whatever. So they wrote all in the chasim, libonim b'chayeyem, when they were still alive, and now they left nothing for themselves. A little bit foolish. Maybe they left something, and that something was quickly eaten up. Anyway, in Ushis Gino, hu v'ishtin v'zayin mehem, the children now have to go and support their parents. Maschur Rabzei v'isem Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Gedolim Zu Amru. We said even a greater inyan. What do we say a greater inyan? Amenosin Zoinis Menachosov, hu v'ishtin v'moye. So the Gemara's kasha is, I don't understand this chidush of Rabbi Lo Amr Ish Lakish, or the chidush of this takana. L'choyra, this is pales by comparison to an even greater takana that has been accepted. And what is that? Amenosin Zoinis Menachosov. If that's the case, then who the ishtim iboya to chavada? Now, what is this amanosay nizaynis melechasav? The shalach Ravin beigrasay. Ravin sent a letter, presumably from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. Mishemeis viniach almana, person who passed away, he left over an almana. Ubas and a daughter. In other words, there were no banim. There was only two females. There was an almana, and there was a daughter. Okay, so who gets precedence? Amanosay nizaynis melechasav. Since he has a daughter, the daughter is going to yarshin everything, right? There are no banim, there are only banois, like the banois tlofchad. In this case, it was only one bas. She gets everything. Nevertheless, she's going to have to go and give the almana mezoinis as long as she's alive. Almanosin mezoinis menachasev, unless, of course, she remarries. And that's one of the tanoim that you have inside the every single ksuba, that she can continue sitting in the home of the mess of her late husband and get mezainis unless and until she gets married. So amanosin nizayin min chasav. Even if nisus habas amanosin nizayin min chasav. What happens if the daughter subsequently gets married and therefore now she brings in a huge nadin to her husband? That is the estate that she yarshin from her father. The almana can still be one of the members of the family and still get food. What happens, Mesa Habas? What happens if Chas V'Sholem, the daughter dies? So the only two people that are left are the almana of the original father that passed away and the son-in-law. I don't even know it's the son-in-law of this particular almana. It could be from a different almana. In other words, the father may have had multiple wives. Regardless, bottom line is, the only people that are around are the almana and the baal of this bas. The bas until now has been supporting the almana and giving her mezainis. Does the baal have to continue? Rabbi Yehuda ben Achoyse shel Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, al yodi hayamaisa v'amru almanosei nizainis menachosav. That the almana continues to be supported mezainis from that son-in-law, from the baal of the bas. Now, what's the reason for that? After all, he has no relationship with her. He is no blood relationship. Why should he have to go and support her? The bas died and finished. He's on his own. So Rashi says that the reason is because he got a windfall of this tremendous nadin from his wife, that he didn't work for one day. He was not matriach at all. He just got a windfall that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that the father of his late father-in-law passed away, leaving over his wife with a nice nadin. The wife passed away, he now yarshin that nadin. But since he didn't work for it at all, and there was a lien imposed upon it in that the almon is entitled to eat, so he has to continue going and supporting. Zokti Mara, if that's the case, where there's no relationship whatsoever, we're saying that the Baal of the Bas, who passed away, has to support the almona. Who the ishta biboya? Here, these parents went and gave this largesse to these children. Shouldn't you think that they have the moral, if not the legal obligation, to go and support them? So I don't understand what the grois chiddush is in Usha that we're saying that they have to go and support them. After all, these kids as well received a windfall from their parents to which they were not entitled. So just like we're saying that the son-in-law who is not has no blood relationship with the mother-in-law because he got this windfall for which he was not matriach, he has to go and support that almana, then certainly these children that got this windfall from their very parents, shouldn't they have to go and support their own parents? What's the chiddush? So you might have to say, I would have thought, hasabu the leke de tarach. In the case of the almana, there's nobody to be matriach on behalf of the almana, meaning she had a husband. The husband supported her as long as they were married. But now that he passed away, she has no other means of support. And therefore, somebody's got to support her. So we take from the chosim that the father left over, even though they went to the daughter and then to the daughter's husband. Nevertheless, the daughter's husband has that duty to go and support because nobody else is supporting her. Avul hach, in the case of the parents, they gave away all the food to the children, all the food, the entire estate to the children. Nitrach li didei li dida. I might think that if the father is of sufficient health and age, that he should go back to work and continue. Just how did he go and give this largesse to his children? Because he worked all of his life. No, let him continue working. Let him make some more money and support himself and support his wife. Kamashulun, that's the chiddush in Usha. Then no, if they gave away their full possessions, bakal mikal kol, to their children, and they have nothing left for themselves, the children have to go and give mazonis to their parents. Frey Timar, again, the same shayla as before. Iboilu hilchas kavasei, less hilchas kavasei. Is the halacha like this brisa, or not this brisa, like Reb, like Rish Lakish in the name, who's the one that said that this is a tekana? Yeah, Rabbi Lo Amar Rish Lakish. Is halacha Rish Lakish, or is halacha like the tekana in Usha? Toshima, the Reb Chanina, Rabbi Yonison, have a kindly. Rabbi Yonison and Reb Chanina were standing together as one. Asu Gavra, a nameless individual comes over, Goch, and he bends over, the Nashkel Rabbi Yonison Akare, and he kisses the feet of Rabbi Yonison. Now, it's not often that people go over to you and kiss your feet. It's Omalei Reb Chanina, my high. Reb Chanina said to Reb Yonison, hey, how come he kissed your feet? He didn't kiss my feet. What did you do to deserve this kissing of the feet? Omalei, I'll tell you. Kois in the Chosin Lebanavu, the fellow that just kissed my feet, he was one that wrote all of Nechosim Lebanav. And he came to me because the children apparently did not want to support their parents. Vasisinu lizane. Vasisinu means, says Rashi, kafisi. I forced the children to go and support the parents. And therefore, he is so happy and he's so thankful that he went and kissed my feet. So Zokti Yimara, what's the rai from this story? If you're going to tell me that the Iker Hadin, he did not have to go and force the children to go and support their father, that's the reason why I decided that that's the proper moral thing to do. And I did force them to go and pay and give food to their parents. And therefore, that's the reason why he's so thankful and kissed my feet. Eli Amris Dina, if you're going to tell me that that's the din, Asiyona boy, was it necessary for me to go and be koifa? And would you go and say that there's a din would you say that there was that he should go and kiss my feet? So what the Gemara is being poisik is that be'emes mitzad ikra din, there is no requirement to go and support the parents. And the reason why he kissed my feet is because I went lifnim mishur hasadin. And that's why he loves me so much and he kisses my feet. If you look at the top two Rashis, Vasisinu, Kafisi oisam bechaska. I did force them. Amnesha terachti olav likonis loylafnim mishuris adim. Because I went beyond the letter of the law and I forced the children to go and support the parents. That's why mechavimena. That's why he loves me so much and kisses my feet. However, vidinu, if this was meikar adin, ain keman gebilas toiva lahachsik loytoiva shal korcha yishpoid emes. If this is required by Shulchan Aruch, then there's no reason for him to go and kiss my feet. All I'm doing is administering justice in accordance with the law books. Is the haraya that we do not paskin like Usha, that one has to go and support one's parents, but avad, it's the right thing to do, that's the moral thing to do, and that's the reason why Reb Chanina pushed the children to go and support the parents, and that's why the father was so thankful that he went and gave him a kiss on his feet. With that, we'll conclude, and Mitchum tomorrow will start with a new shayt. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai. Thank you all, Barry, and everybody else. Have a wonderful day, Zagi Benchit.